look around, you see there's a lot of us in here today, and this has been like this for the past several weeks, and that's super exciting. But with that comes, as more people come, one of the things that we've realized is a lot of our systems or a lot of the things in which we do are becoming outgrown. And so to be able to keep up with what God is doing amongst us, we are going to need some help. And so next Sunday night on the 30th, we will have a time for any and everyone to come celebrate with us about what God is doing. Also, to be able to learn about different areas of ministries and ways that you can serve, whether that's smiling and holding a door open or serving in one of the ministries that we have. We want you to be able to learn about that and learn in a way to where you can just come, no commitment needed, but come and just learn and figure out where God has gifted you and how he can use you. And so what I'm asking today is for everyone to be involved, though. So a couple of things, whether this is your first Sunday with us or whether you've been coming for a while, the first one thing I want to do is, one, be intentional. So if you see someone on a Sunday morning that you've not had a chance to meet yet, man, how warm and welcoming is it for you to be able to just stick out your hand and say, hey, I don't know if we've ever met. Hi, my name's Chad. I'm so glad you're here. And just meet each other and get to know each other. It's a great way that you can be intentional. Another thing is to be mindful that you might need to scoot over or move to a different seat or help someone, especially if you see a big family come in and they're looking for a spot. What a great way that you can be mindful just to say, hey, can I help you find somewhere? And it's a way that we can be intentional. I noticed this morning there are a lot of you that parked in the back. Thank you so much for that. We're working. We're going to have gravel coming in to where even when it rains, we don't get stuck or anything back there. But we're trying to help provide open areas of parking even out in the front as God continues to bring people. So thank you for doing that. And then I would say connect. Maybe invite someone to your small group with you. These are ways that we can build relationships and continue to grow. And so thank you for being a part of what God is doing. Super exciting, and I'm thankful for your help in that. Again, next Sunday night, we will have a time where we come together. You will learn how you can serve, but also how you can be praying, how you can be a part of, and even maybe help on the planning side of being able to adequately be able to have everyone in all the areas of ministry. So thank you so much. Super excited about what the Lord is doing, and we want to continue to do that. Another great way, if you're an early person, we have a first service. It's at 8 a.m., I would love to invite you to come to that as well. It is also growing, and so it is an exact same service. We have same music, same message, and that's at 8 o'clock. Would love for you to invite you to come to that if you would also like to try something new. All right? Hey, today we're going to be in Psalm 139. If you would, grab your Bibles and turn with me there. Today, I'm super excited as we continue to look at the attributes of God. Today, what we will look at is that he is an all-knowing God. We started back a few weeks ago, and we talked about how God is a God who is self-existent, meaning that he is self-sufficient. He doesn't need you or me. Like, we don't come to him and be like, oh, I'm so glad that they finally came to me because I needed them. No. He doesn't need us. He doesn't need you. He doesn't need me. But one of the great truths about our God is that even though he knows you, is that he loves you and has chosen to make himself available to us that we can know him and walk with him. And so God is a self-existent God. Romans 11:35-36 says, or who has given a gift to him that he might be repaid? For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be glory forever. Amen. It is from him, through him, and to him that all things, you and I included in that, exist. It is because he is a God who is self-existent, has all power, all authority, that we find ourselves here. And that's important for us to understand because then it keeps the gospel and we're able to look at it in the right way, meaning that it is one directional. It is from God and to us. We are only recipients of that. So as we live our lives, we don't live our lives so that can better receive. Like we don't ever become good enough to now be in this right standing that now I can receive something from God. It's one directional. It is from him to us. And I'm so thankful for the grace that he has shown. And then we also looked at just a couple of weeks ago that God is holy. Not just that God is holy, but God is holy, holy, holy. Holy means that to be set apart. And he is utterly set apart. Like, he is not like us. And thank God he's not like us, right? And so it's important that we view God in the right way, because otherwise, naturally, we'll put ourselves as though we were God, and we'll start to say, well, if I was God, this is how I would handle this. Or if I was God, I wouldn't let any of this happen. Or if I was God, here's what I would do. And we naturally will approach him like that, and we've got to be careful when we do that, because he's not like us. We're not like him. And so what we must then do is try to understand then who God is. And the fact that he is holy, 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 completely and utterly set apart from us, means that he is worthy of our worship. But it also means that everything else, all of his other attributes are explained by his holiness. So in other words, his grace is a holy grace. His justice is a holy, set apart, highly lifted up type of justice. His righteousness is a holy righteousness. And so in 1 John, it says that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. In him is no darkness at all. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. And so today, as we dive in, what we will continue to do is we will look at the attributes of God. And today what we're going to look at is he is all-knowing. And this is important for us to know, because if we're not careful, we'll start to think about this holiness of God, and then we'll he knows all things. He knows all things about me. He knows my past. He knows my thoughts. He knows my wicked thoughts. And if he is a God of justice, then that means he will punish the unholy. He can't allow sin in his presence. So what does that mean for me? He knows everything about me. He knows all that I've done. You see how without looking at the attributes of God through the gospel of Jesus Christ, we'll start to see who God is, and our only response will be that of fear. Because we'll look at his justice, for instance, and we'll start to say, wow, I'm unholy, he is holy and righteous, and yet is a God of justice, means he's going to judge or rightly deal with my sin. And if I look at the fact and believe that he's all-knowing and knows everything about me, I only am worthy of his punishment. But if I understand the gospel, and if I understand the grace that he has shown, then I can understand that he is a God of justice, but yet has provided a way for your sin and my sin to be rightly and justly taken care of. He has sent his son, Jesus, to come and to live a holy life and to go to the cross to pay for your sin and my sin upon the cross, and tells me that if I will believe in Jesus, that he died but didn't stay dead, was risen from the dead to show that he had power over sin and death, that I can be forgiven. My sin is dealt with. That even though I'm not righteous, one day God takes the righteousness of Jesus and puts it upon me. You see, I start to understand the gospel, and I start to see this holiness, and I start to see this all-knowing God, and the fact that he knows that I'm a sinner, he is also a God who has shown grace to deal with that sin rightly and justly. Amen? Do you see that? So, as we seek to understand, if you don't mind standing with me just in honor of God's word, if you would like to do that, you're more than welcome to remain seated. We will begin reading in Psalm 139, verse 1. To the choir master, a psalm of David. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar. You search out my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. You hem me in behind and before and lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. Where shall I go from your spirit? Or where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me and the light about me be night, even the darkness is not dark to you, and the night is bright as the day, for darkness is as light with you. For you formed my inward parts, and you knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you. When I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written, every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there was none of them. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. If I would count them, they are more than the sand. I awake and I'm still with you. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. We ask that today you would open our eyes to see you as who you truly are. Help us, Lord, to lift you up. Help us to realize that you being all-knowing, you know everything about us, and yet you still love us. And so, God, we pray that today we would truly lift your name up. Hallowed be your name in all the earth. We pray today, this morning, that your will would be done amongst us here on earth as it is in heaven. God, we ask that, Father, that you would provide for us all that is needed, and that, Lord, that we would forgive as we've been forgiven. Thank you, Lord. Lead us from here. We need you. We know that apart from you, we can do nothing. It's in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen. Thank you. You can be seated. Here today, as we look at a knowing God, a theological word that is used often is omniscience. It is a word that means all knowledge. And so as we take this to understand or seek to understand God, we see that he has a perfect knowledge, not only of the past, but in the very present, the future, and even the potential things that could have happened. And so as we look at this, we'll seek to understand this. So today what we'll do is start where Psalms 139 does, and that's we'll look at the present. God has a perfect knowledge of the present. And what I mean by that is he knows exactly what you are doing right now. He knows your thoughts. He knows your motives. He knows the words that you say, the things that you do, the way that you act in a way that is that of integrity or of righteousness, but also knows the way that you try to fool others. He knows when you're being fake and when you're being genuine. God knows everything about you in this very moment. Here, the psalm says that you have searched me and know me. Very personal. You know me. He says, you know when I sit down, you know when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar. You search out my path and my lying down. You're acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is spoken, you already know it. Like, you know it. So God knows us right now in the present. And so here's what this means. Think about this. God knows your pain. He knows what you're dealing with. God knows before you even come to him in prayer, he already knows what you need. He knows the things that you are calling for. He knows the things on your heart. And so when we pray, we don't pray to inform. Like, you can't tell God anything that he doesn't already know. But we come to him out of intimacy and out of a deep dependence upon him. So that way, I love even this morning in our small groups as we talk about the Lord's Prayer, Man, we lift him up. We put him in the right setting that he is. God, you are hallowed be your name. You are, there is no one above you. You are right. Your kingdom come. Don't let me come to you with my wants or my desires, but let it be your will. You hear this as Jesus is teaching us to pray. And then even go so far as to say, let it be your kingdom. Let it be your plan. Let it be you. This is why one of our core values is to prioritize the kingdom of God, because if not, we will make it about ours. Amen? And so we come to him and we say, and let me even model this in my life and everything that I do. Let me forgive others as I've been forgiven. You see, it makes it all then about him. And this is the implications of realizing that God is all-knowing. He knows you. Good and bad, he knows you. He knows the wickedness. He knows the flesh that you let stay alive. He knows that sin you run after. He knows how you manipulate and how you hide. He knows it all. And yet this God who knows all still loves you. Man, let that sink in for a second. He knows you and yet loves you. First John 3:20 says, for whenever our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart, and he knows everything. So even if your heart comes to condemn, you have a God who knows it all. Like, he doesn't listen to your heart. He knows it, though. He knows what your desires are and sees it. Hebrews 4:13 says, nothing in creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give an account. God is with you right now. Next week, as we talk about how God is ever present, we'll talk about the closeness of our God and how he desires for our lives to be lived in his presence and with him and acknowledging him. I love that. And I think is one of Jesus' most powerful things that he was teaching his disciples before he left is, as you guys know, I love, is that we're to abide in Christ. And that only comes with his presence. But today, as we look at this, we must know that he knows everything about us. And so when we come before him, he knows. We draw close to him then and depend upon what we are to do. I think what's exciting about him knowing us in the moment, he also knows the trial. He knows the storm. It doesn't surprise him. He knows it. And so whatever it is you're dealing with right now, man, it should bring comfort to know that you're not forgotten. You're not an accident. Your identity isn't in this situation. But you have a God who knows you, loves you, and is with you. Second thing I want us to see is that he has a perfect knowledge, not only of the present, but also the past. Here, we are informed in the psalm, if you'll look at verse 13 with me, it says, For you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you. For I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written, every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there was none of them. Think about this. God knows you right now. He knows the things you're going with. He knows the pain. He knows the trial. But he also knows everything that has passed. The psalmist here is pointing to God even knew before he was being formed and had a plan. And that the days were written, we'll look at the future here in just a second, but the days were written even before one of them came to be. And so God, knowing you and everything about you, knew how you were formed, was there in the midst of you being formed. Now think of this. That means you weren't an accident. I don't care what your parents told you, right? You weren't an accident. You weren't a side thought. You weren't, like, you have a purpose and a plan, and it's not based upon any human or any form of culture. It is based upon a God who knew you, knows you, and has a plan for you. Let that sink in. I love when Jesus is praying in John 17, and he says, I pray that they will know that you love them as much as you love me. That's the words of Jesus. That you and I would know that God loves you and I as much as he does Jesus. Isn't that awesome? Think about that for a second. You're not an accident. You're not an afterthought. God knows you, loves you, has a plan for you. And so, but if he knows the past, he also knows everything we've ever done. He knows what we've never told anybody. He knows what we've done in secret. He knows where our motives and our heart is at. He knows the things we pursue. He knows the things we search for and seek after. He knows the things we watch on our phones. He knows it all. And this God who knows it all the wickedness, all the filth, still decides that he loves you. Still decide and has decided to have a plan for you. Even though he knows you in the present, has known everything you've ever done, still thinks about you and still is in your presence with you. Like, don't miss that. We can easily overlook that this is a God who knows it all and yet still has a plan. Jeremiah 1:5 says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. That's what he said to Jeremiah. Psalm 147 said, he determined the number of the stars and calls them each by name. Great is our Lord and mighty in power. His understanding has no limit. Matthew 10:30 would say, and even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. You have an identity, and that is determined by a God who formed you, who is the potter. We are the clay. He has a purpose and a plan. And if we're not careful, we will turn to the potter and we'll say, no. I don't want to do that. No. I've got this. And so we must understand. He knows our past, and yet he still chose to create you and love you. Which leads me then to, he not only knows the present and the past, but he also knows the future. God, being outside of time, can see it all. He can see the end from the beginning. Mark Twain, this was a quote sent to me this morning after the first service. Mark Twain said, I've lived through some terrible things in my life, some of which actually happened. Think about it. You and I become worried and anxious as we think about tomorrow. We don't know what's coming. Even as we think about the future, we'll become worried or anxious because we don't know. What if I get a sickness? What if something happens to one of my kids? Well, what if all day long, and it spins us into this anxiousness and worry. And I just want you to think about with me for a minute, how many of those what ifs ever actually happen? The what ifs that paralyze us in fear and keep us from being obedient to the Lord. I just want to remind you, every step of obedience and faith in Jesus will be that, just that. It will be in faith. You're not going to know how the person's going to respond. You're not going to know exactly what's going to happen. But the promise is that there is a God who already knows it. And if he's leading you to go there, then he has a plan in the midst and we can trust him. I think it's done with the greatest of encouragement. We have two foster boys. They are doing it every weekend with their dad right now. And we were told recently that in October they hope that they'll be back fully with their dad. And man, that's so hard. And as you can imagine, we've had them over 2 years and treated them like our own from first words, first steps, potty train, teach them how to ride a bike without training wheels. I mean, all the things. But people come to us and will say things, and I know they're trying to be encouraging. And maybe I'm not. Please don't hear me if you've ever said this to me. I'm not taking it bad at all. I say things like this too. But they'll say, "I could never do that." Why? Because of what we're getting ready to have to walk in. It's going to be hard. These are kids we love. But I wonder how many times that's what we tell God. I could never do that. We tell the God who has all power and authority, who is holy, 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 who loves us and knows everything about us and is calling us to be a part of his kingdom and to do something that only he could do. And we'll say, yeah, I don't think I could do that. That's going to be hard. That's going to tear my guts out. We don't realize the things that he's going to teach us and show us and lead us to understand and know about him. We don't understand the grace that he's going to give us in those days when we don't know what to do. I mean, I think about when we had our first and they send us, you know, they give us this baby, newborn baby, Allie. We have no instructions. I have no clue what to do, right? And they send her home with me. And I remember looking in Allie's blue eyes, rocking her, and I'm just thinking, and the anxiousness started to well up in me. Lord, I don't know what to do. There's going to be things that happen. I don't know what to do. Oh my gosh, what happens when a boy comes? You know, like all these things start just anxiousness. And I just want to tell you, every time there's something that happens, I don't know, God is there and there's grace. And Lindsay and I will have to run to him. God, we don't know what to do here. And there's grace in that moment. And then more things. And then they become teenagers. Now I've got three teenagers. And what do I do? And there's grace in those moments, right? Like he shows us. And I just want to tell you, every single step in your life and in your walk with this God who knows. He knows the past and everything you've ever done. He knows the present and the thoughts that you don't think that anyone knows you think. And he knows the future. And he's already there even when it comes. And I just want to tell you, you are different. He has placed himself in you by the power of the Holy Spirit and called you to trust him. You're different than the rest of the world. You're not like them. You're not to be anxious and worried and stressed out as they are. Why? Because you and I have a God who is on the throne and knows you right now and knows what you're going to face tomorrow and knows the failure that you're going to do next week and knows the boneheaded move you're going to make a year from now and is already there and has already given you the grace to walk through it. And has told you to forgive as you've been forgiven, which means he also knows that your spouse is also going to fail along the way. And he also knows your coworker is going to say things that they shouldn't. He also knows that your kids are going to rebel and that they're going to do that. And he also knows that there's going to be a sickness that's going to come and there's a loss and someone's going to die and you aren't ready for them to die. But he knows, and listen to me, he's there also. But listen, if we're running around like the rest of the world, then we're going to be stressed out and anxious, and we're not going to see that we're worthy to be even used by this God, because just as God knows the future, we have an enemy that wants to tie us to the past. And he wants you to be defined by your failures. He wants you in those moments of faith to remember that the last time you had this very same step, you failed. But you're not defined by your failures. You're not defined by the people in your life. You're not defined by the words of what people call you or said you were or what you'll never do. You were defined by a God who is on the throne, who has all power. So what does this mean? One of the things that's really cool as I was studying is God not only knows the present and the past and the future, but he also knows the potential. Think about it. A couple of things happen in Scripture. In 1 Samuel, David is wanting to know if people are going to hand him over to Saul and ultimately be killed. And so David asks God if the citizens of Keilah will hand him over to Saul if he stays. And God responds, they will. And so David changes his plans and leaves. So the event never actually happens, but God knew that it would. He even knew the potential things. Even in Matthew 11, 21, it says, woe to you, Chorazin. Woe to you, Bethesda. For if the miracles that were performed in you had been performed in Tyre or Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. Like, Jesus told them, like, if I was preaching this somewhere else, they would have already repented. Like he knew the possibility, like the potential of things. Now, this can cause your mind to walk down all sorts of rabbit trails, but just think with me for a second. How many times do you think God has saved you from something horrible happened because he shut a door, caused you to be late, there was a wreck on the way or construction in this moment? We have no idea, but it's just kind of interesting to think about. God knows all of the potentials. I've just learned that as I walk through things, instead of questioning or yelling or getting mad, just to say, okay, God, now what? Because he knows. He knows you. When we think about him knowing, I can't help but to think about that. I mean, even as David writes here in the psalm, look at verse 17. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. If I would count them, they are more than the sand. The thoughts of him. Think about this for a second. God knows everything, and he is thinking about you. This doesn't put you at the center of this thing. Remember, he is above all. He is set apart. But it's just humbling to think that me, a sinner, unholy, wicked, weak, man, defaults to my own laziness. I mean, me. And yet there is a God who thinks about me, has thoughts toward me, has plans for me. And here David even points that, like, if I could number the thoughts about me, number of the sand. Now, just being on the beach and being able to even just hold a little bit of sand in my hand, uncountable, the number of grains in just what I can hold in my hand. And to think about the thoughts that God has for you and for me, because he has plans, he has purpose, he gives grace, he is with us, he knows, he thinks, is that not humbling to think about? And yet, flip it. How many thoughts do we have toward God? How many times are we asking him, Lord, what do you want? What is your will? What is your plan? How many times do we start our prayer as Jesus even taught his disciples and us to pray? Lord, you are lifted up. Let it be your will. How many times do we not just go in, Lord, give me this. I need this. I'm hurting. What do I do here? Why'd you do that? And so my challenge today, there's a God who knows it all. He knows the present, he knows the past, he knows the future, he even knows the potential things that could happen. Today, will you trust him? Do you trust the future, or do you rest in fear and anxiousness? What of your past does the enemy continue to hold you back to? What does he keep you from being able to walk with the Lord? Like sometimes we, because of things we've done or ways we've failed, we even will tell God, God, you can't use me in these ways. Who are you or I to tell God that he can't use us? And first off, I just want to say, have you read the Bible? Do you not realize some of the mess ups that God used in mighty ways? Like, Don't give your list of reasons why God can't use you, because Jesus paid for those upon the cross. You're new. Old is gone. New has come. Believe him. Trust him. It's all grace. It's been paid for. Will you trust the all-knowing God? Will you be obedient even when you don't know the future? Like, I believe that God is calling you today, this morning, every one of us. There's a next step that he wants us. Here's the thing. 5 years from now, you may come sit in the same seat or maybe a row over or whatever, and you've been a regular attender, and you know, you may even be like, man, that's great. I've been a regular attender. I read my Bible, all those things. But if you've not matured and walked and trusted and grown, man, what are we doing? What are we doing? What step does he want you to take? How can you begin spending time with him? How can you be obedient? How can you follow him? How can you trust him? What is he leading you to do? Starts with asking him, Lord, what do you want me to do? How do I follow you? How do I trust you? And then lastly, and I almost every week, this is how I end the question I ask. It's the Lord leading you to surrender. Not giving parts of your life, not just giving Sunday morning. Are you, do you believe that God is leading you to surrender your life to Him, to believe in Jesus and what He has done for you upon the cross, that He died for your sin, that He rose from the dead, that He is God in the flesh, and that by believing in Jesus and what He has done, you can be forgiven, you can be made new. The Holy Spirit come in your life and empower you to live different today. Will you surrender your life to Jesus? Let's bow before the Lord. Father, I want to thank you so much for your word. I thank you for reminding us, teaching us that you are all-knowing. You know everything. You know the present. You know the past. God, you know the future. You know tomorrow and even the next chapter of life. You're there. And so, God, I pray that we'll trust you in that. You know all the possibilities and the potential things that might happen. And so, God, I pray that today that we would believe you. We'd live our lives trusting you are right here with us, knowing that whatever we face, there'll be grace in the midst of that. And so, God, I pray that you would lead us, help us today to decide, to lay down, to follow you. So, God, will you help us to trust you? Today, I want to invite you to respond to the Lord. It may mean just to remain in your seat and pray and talking to the Lord and acknowledging ways maybe you have allowed the past or even your own weaknesses to keep you from trusting Him. But maybe God is asking you to surrender your life, to humble yourself and call to Him and put your faith in Jesus. I want to invite you to do that right now. Confess. Others, maybe there's been failure. Maybe even this morning you failed. Maybe there's been something that's in the past that's holding you back. Confess it to the Lord. Believe that Jesus paid for it on the cross. Believe the gospel. Pick up your cross and follow Him. Be obedient to what He has for you. Put it to death. But respond. Maybe He would have you humbly come, just get on your knees before Him and just lift Him up. God, you know it all. Here I am. How do you want to use me? So, God, we need you. Lead us in this time. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. If you would stand, respond as the Lord would lead you. If I can encourage in any way, I'd love to. I'd love to pray with you. If today you would just come to me and say, Chad, I want to surrender my life to the Lord. Man, I'm going to rejoice with you, pray over you. You come. You respond.